watching High Velocity News on channel 666, broadcasting to the Great Southwest. And now your anchors, Al K. Seltzer and Chandelier.
Hi there. Breaking news. If you have not heard the Revelation blog about it, you can check it out at velocityrevelation.blogspot.com. Check it out and get updated on what's going on with the Revelation.
Very nice. The next two Saturdays for Velocity, yes, that is Velocity, will be right in the hub with the Vertical Group. So plan on mingling, getting to know each other, because it should be some good times.
All you G.I. Joes and G.I. Janes better come out next Wednesday for War Night in Velocity. So get your camo on and get ready to come.
The peak. Now, what we all love about the peak, yes, it's the snow.
Gotta love the snow.
Gotta love that snow. That is 2 days away. Do not miss it.
If you're going on the mission trip, the first meeting will... Yes, if you're going on the mission trip.
There's some background noise going on.
Yeah, that's weird.
Quiet must be, on the set.
Must be people outside the studio or something.
That construction.
If you are going on the mission trip, the first meeting will be 21st of February, following this service in the Plex. And the first team meeting will be March 8th. Details are coming soon, so bring your family to that first meeting on the 21st. And if some of you aren't able to go on the mission trip, something you might consider is sponsoring a child. So we're going to go to a commercial break, and please enjoy this.
He said, let the little children come to me. You, because you are a follower of Jesus, let the children come to you. For only $35 a month, you could sponsor a child just as precious as this one and save their life and their soul. One such child is Joer. For $35, you can sponsor Joer and make sure he has a place to live, clean water to drink, and food to eat at his table at night. Please, please, don't turn away an eye to these crying children.
That video gets me every time. Real tear jerker.
That is.
So if you'd like to, please do sponsor these children, especially Joer.
All right, now the weekend. That's an event. That is an event coming up. You need to prepare for it. I don't know about you ladies out there, maybe you gentlemen, but nothing beats ketchup in the hair like going to the weekend. Put away your shampoo, put away your conditioner, just prepare your hair for that great weekend.
I don't know about you, Sean, but I'm always up for a challenge.
Oh, me too.
One particular too. Challenge is that 90-day challenge.
Very nice.
So those of you who have been doing the 90-day challenge, please continue to do so. And if you're a little behind, be sure to get caught up. But if you haven't, you have another chance coming up in May. And if you need the info on what books we're going through, there's some flyers on the back table. So go ahead and grab one.
All right. Now, as we talked about snow with the peak, the weather here in Albuquerque can be quite unpredictable.
It's bad.
Let's go live on the scene to Harold Celsius to figure out what the weather is like now.
Harold Celsius here bringing you the news report. I just wanted to tell you that it's sunny over here. Look at him, he's smiling. He's so happy. It's sunny. It's good. And over here, we have some snow. Yeah, snow. It's pretty cold. Negatives. Okay. And down here, it's really hot. Very, very hot. Over here, we've got some wind. And right here, we have some rain. Back to you guys.
Hey, Harold.
Weather. Gotta love Harold. He's always a funny guy.
He has his way of making the weather interesting. Gotta love it.
He does. He's hot one minute and cold, and he's all over the place. I don't know if you knew.
That noise, where is that coming from?
I don't know. It's awfully
distracting. I apologize to all you viewers at home.
I don't know if you knew, but it is Happy Dead Guy Day.
Happy Dead Guy Day?
It is!
I had no idea.
I know, but I have a present for you.
Really?
It's a candle, because I'm happy, because it's Happy Dead Guy Day.
You really shouldn't have. I didn't get you anything.
It's okay. I have coffee. I
feel bad now.
Talking about dead guy. Who is this guy? Let's go to the video and find out.
From High Velocity News, we're on the scene of two dead bodies. Let's check it out. Here we are with two dead bodies, unidentified men. Let's come closer to see if we can see who it is. Oh my gosh, check out their sweet shirts. You can purchase for $15, talk to a leader. We'll have more information for you when the story develops. Back to you at the station.
Wow. Thank you, Alicia, for that breaking news. That is so strange.
Man, those guys look kind of dead.
Yeah, that's so odd.
But their shirts are pretty spiffy, if you ask me.
Yeah, I do like those
How
shirts.
How much did they say you could purchase them for?
I believe $15.
I believe so, too.
So, how's it going?
Pretty good. How are you?
What is that?
Oh, my gosh.
Are those bodies?
I guess the cameraman left the camera on there for a little bit. Caught some passers-by.
Those guys got quite a scene.
I don't know how up-to-date we've been on the news, but let's go live to our sports person.
Let it go, sports. And I'm here at the 10th annual ping pong tournament. Let's take a look at the players. Oh, look at that ball fly. Okay. Wow, they're really getting into it. And up next, we will be live at the Dead Man Relay. Back to you, Denver and Ashley.
Who are Denver
and Ashley? That is too odd.
Sorry.
That one guy in the black shirt was pretty good looking, though. Tell you that much. Don't know who he was.
We'd like to thank all the viewers of the show. We love you guys as well.
The news just wouldn't be the news without you. Boy, was that some relay, that Dead Man Relay.
Woo.
Please give a hand for the winning team. I was amazed at that comeback. Really impressive.
Very nice. That sounds like intense. Tense game out there. But
the Beast was their name. The Beast won. That was their team name. Very great job. Congratulations to the Beasts.
Very nice. The Beast. All right, you guys. So we have our last video coming up. So please direct your eyes to the screens.
3.5 days later, and as you can still see, the dead bodies are still lying here. Huh? What? Are they moving? I think they're moving. Can you come back? Oh my gosh. I hate this job. Oh my gosh.
Oh my goodness, I hope she's all right.
So they are very much alive.
So the dead guys have come back to life.
Can
we will bring you more
back?
on that Thank crazy you. Story as it develops.
Okay, Revelation 11. We're going to start reading in verse 3. We're going to read all the way through verse 13. So follow along with me. Revelation 11, starting in verse 3. And I will give power to my two witnesses, and they will prophesy 1,260 days, clothed in sackcloth. These are the two olive trees and the two lampstands standing before the God of the earth. And if anyone wants to harm them, fire proceeds from their mouth and devours their enemies. And if anyone wants, And if anyone wants to harm them, he must be killed in this manner. Verse 6. These have power to shut heaven so that no rain falls in the days of their prophecy. And they have power over waters to turn them to blood and to strike the earth with all plagues as often as they desire. When they finish their testimony, the beast that ascends out of the bottomless pit will make war against them, overcome them, and kill them. And their dead bodies will lie in the street of the great city, which spiritually is called Sodom and Egypt, where also our Lord was crucified. Then those from the peoples, tribes, tongues, and nations will see their dead bodies 3.5 days and not allow their dead bodies to be put into graves. Verse 10. And those who dwell on the earth will rejoice over them, make merry, and send gifts to one another because these two prophets tormented those who dwell on the earth. Now after the 3.5 days, the breath of life from God entered them and they stood on their feet and great fear fell on those who saw them. And they heard a loud voice from heaven saying to them, come up here. And they ascended into a cloud, and their enemies saw them. In the same hour there was a great earthquake, and a tenth of the city fell. In the earthquake, 7,000 people were killed, and the rest were afraid and gave glory to the God of heaven. All right, so we have these guys that are given some pretty major superpowers from God. And I've heard of a lot of superheroes, you know, growing up. Everybody dreams of being a superhero, right? In fact, I even read about a museum in Oklahoma. It's a toy and action figure museum, and it displays over 6,000 different action figures of different superheroes and Barbies and all of that good stuff. They have all of that stuff in there. And of course, you know, when you're growing up, you want superpowers. You want to be able to, like, zap your sister or fly off of a roof or something like that, right? So I was doing some research about some superheroes, of course. Since I'm a middle school pastor, that's what I do. And I came across a website that generates new superhero names. And, you know, when I was growing up, that was the one thing I lacked. I had the muscles, obviously, you know. But what I really needed was like a good, strong, powerful, frightening superhero name, right? That's what I needed. I wish I would have had this website at my disposal then. Let me give you my top five that I found, okay? Here's the first one. The Magical Hobo Avenger. That was the first one. Watch out. This one was one of my favorites, this next one. Captain Taco from the future. This website really generated this. This next one's pretty good. The Misunderstood Tapeworm Detonator. Wow. I like this one. This sounds mean and powerful. Death Elbow. You don't want to mess with Death Elbow. Back off, all right? And my favorite, and you'll know why, the High Velocity Holy Snatcher. Oh, scary. Wow. You know, the question whenever you saw a superhero, the question was, who's behind that thing? You know, who's behind all those muscles and the cape and the costume? Who's behind all of that? Or the mask or whatever, right? Well, tonight we're going to take a brief look at these superheroes from Revelation 11, and we're going to peel back the mask, and we're going to look at the identity of a few witnesses tonight. And at the end, we're going to do something different, something we don't normally do. We're going to split up into small groups at the very end, and we're going to discuss some of the things that we talked about here tonight. So here's what I want you guys to do. Be writing some stuff down as we go along. If you have questions as we go, feel free to write those down. And then when you guys get in your small groups, we'll have about 15 minutes to discuss some of the stuff that we've talked about. Here's the first thing that I want you guys to write down tonight. And that's number one, the identity of the two witnesses. Now, I wasn't here last week for Q&A Buffet, but from what I understand, there was a question asked, who are the two witnesses? That's a great question. That's a question that many people ask. And I did want to ask you guys, do you have any guesses about who these guys might be? Any ideas that you might think? Moses and Elijah. Okay, who else?
You in Denver.
Not me in Denver. Okay, for real, guesses. Any real guesses? Angels, okay. James and John. Who else? Any other guesses?
Elijah.
Okay, Nabal. David and Elijah. Okay, lots of good guesses, except for Taylor's. But there are lots of theories, okay, lots of theories. One theory says that it might be Peter and Paul, some of the great apostles, you know, to the Gentiles and the Jews. Their bodies actually at this time lay in Rome. Some people say that. Some people say that these are not real people. They're just symbols of the church. You know, they're not actual physical people, but it's symbols of Christianity bearing witness for Christ in the end times. I don't agree with that because the language used here is very clear that it's about two specific people. In verse 4, it talks about these guys. It refers to them as two olive trees and two lampstands. Now, they're not really olive trees or lampstands, but what that refers back to is some imagery out of the Old Testament, out of the book of Zechariah, chapter 4. And the witnesses that passage was talking about in the Old Testament were Joshua and a guy with a really cool name named Zerubbabel. You guys like that one, right? Joshua and Zerubbabel. In that passage in Zechariah 4, that's what it was talking about. Other than that, there's no reason to think that those are the ones. Now, some that have a little bit more proof behind them. I heard a couple, Elijah and Moses. These have a lot of proof to go with them. Here's why. Elijah, first off, was the chief prophet to Israel. Moses was the chief lawgiver to Israel. In the book of Malachi, the very last words of the Old Testament, it says, "Behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord." And a lot of people say that, well, this must be, one of these guys must be Elijah then. Both of these men, Elijah and Moses, appeared with Jesus. You can read about it in the first three Gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke. When he was transfigured, you guys may have heard that word, but basically he shined with God's glory, and two men appeared with him, Moses and Elijah. Only three of the disciples saw it, and then they were written down. And then, you know, also some things that kind of coincide with these guys. On earth, Elijah, one of the plagues that he brought on the earth was shutting heaven. It refers to them being able to do this in Revelation 11, verse 6, that they'll be able to shut heaven. Well, you can read in 1 Kings 17 in the Old Testament, Elijah did the same thing. He also called down fire out of heaven, 1 Kings 18. And in verse 6, it says that they will be able to judge with fire as well. We also know, of course, back from the book of Exodus, chapter 7 through 12, that Moses brought plagues, 10 plagues on the land of Egypt, right? Well, it says in verse 6 that these two witnesses will be able to strike the earth with plagues. So there's a lot of people who think that it might be them. Deuteronomy 34:6 says that Moses, this is interesting, died and was buried, but no one knows his grave to this day. No one knows where his body was really buried. And so a lot of people say, well, since that's in the Bible, then maybe he did it really, or maybe God took him, whatever it is. Jude 9, the small book with only one chapter right before Revelation, says that there's the archangel of heaven, Michael. He has a dispute with Satan, and they dispute over Moses' body. So a lot of people say, well, then he must be in heaven. So there's different theories about Moses and Elijah. Here's another theory. A lot of people say that it's Elijah and another guy named Enoch. Okay, now let me tell you why they say these guys. Neither of these guys, Elijah or Enoch, died an actual physical death. That's interesting. 2 Kings 9 through 11 says that Elijah was taken into heaven in a fiery chariot, and he never died. Genesis 5:24 says that Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. Those are the only two guys that we know about in the Bible that never died an actual physical death. God took them to heaven. And that's interesting because Hebrews 9:27 says that it is appointed for men to die once. And so a lot of people say, well, God must have taken them so that later they could return to the earth, be these two witnesses, and then die their one death. We read about that, and of course they eventually resurrect again. And then later on, also in Jude, Enoch, he prophesied about God's coming judgment. And so a lot of people say, well, that must be a sign that he could be one of these guys. Some people say maybe one of them is Jeremiah. Chapter 5, verse 14 of Jeremiah, God tells Jeremiah that he's going to make his words into fire. A lot of people say that we won't even know these two men from history. These will be two people that God raises up, and they become strong, powerful leaders simply because they've been empowered by God. And we're not going to remember them from the Old Testament. That's a lot of theories. That's a lot of ideas and facts and some with biblical proof and some not so much to back up who these guys are. But here's the important thing. We only know when this is going to happen. We're not told who it's actually going to be. And for some reason, God must not either want us to know or think that it's important for us to know. He could have told us who these guys were. He could have made it very obvious. Instead, he never gave us their identity. And that's okay, because I don't think that that's really what God wanted us to focus on. I want to draw your attention to something much more important. Instead of the identity of the two witnesses, here's the most important thing, and you can write this down. Let's look at the identity of today's witnesses. Turn your Bibles to Acts chapter 1, and I'm going to read there in just a few minutes a very familiar verse, Acts chapter 1. Now, when you guys think of the word witness, you guys may think of a person who witnessed something, right? Like, it's kind of like what happens when you're walking and you trip and fall, you know? Like, out of nowhere, you trip on the crack on the sidewalk and you just wipe out, right? What do? You get up and you look around to see if anyone witnessed it, right? That they were watching. The first thing you want to see is like, okay, I'm good. Nobody saw me, right? You guys know what I'm talking about. You want to see if there were witnesses. Or like, you know, the example of the story that I've told before, the time that I watched my dad jump out of his car in the middle of, he was stopped at a stoplight, jump out of his car, run to the car in front of him where there was a shoplifter that had just come out of Walmart, open the guy's door, pull him out in the middle of traffic, and kneel on the guy's back until the cops got there, okay? I witnessed all of that. And so did the four-car pileup that happened right next to us as they were witnessing my dad doing that, okay? Everybody was witnessing this event. They saw it happen. Well, that is one form of the word witness, but this form of the word witness is something totally different. The word witness used in Revelation 11 is the same word in Greek used in Acts chapter 1, verse 8. It's the Greek word that we get our English word, martyr. And you guys probably know what a martyr is. It's someone who dies for their beliefs. Look at Acts chapter 1, verse 8. This is Jesus speaking. But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. So just like the witnesses in Revelation 11, we are called to lay down our lives. This word literally means someone who dies for their beliefs. Now, I know what your hesitation is. You're like, but I don't have sweet fire-breathing skills, you know? True, you don't, and you'll probably never get them, okay? Don't get your feelings hurt if that's the case. You don't need them. Let me give you a few things that we have in common with these people, okay? Check this out here. We have a lot in common with these two witnesses, okay? Everybody focus right up here. Don't worry. Okay, ready? We have a lot in common, okay, with these two witnesses. Let me give you a few examples. First off, we serve the same God as these witnesses in Revelation 11. Here we are looking into the future, reading about what's going to happen in Revelation 11. Right now, currently, we serve this same God who is able to give them these miracle-working powers. Them, Revelation 11, 3, he says, I will give power to my two witnesses. Us, we just read it, Acts 1:8. But you shall receive power. Both groups, us and them, are empowered by this same God. Let's look at these guys in Revelation 11, the two witnesses. These are two godly men sent to tell people about Jesus in a godless world. Sounds pretty familiar, doesn't it? Isn't that our calling? Godly people to go into a generation that hates God. The two witnesses, people will hate them and try to kill them. How about us? John 17, when Jesus is praying for his disciples, he mentions that they will be hated. Very similar to us. The two witnesses, they didn't have a choice. They were selected by God to go and to be his witnesses. They were put on the earth to witness. How about us? When we are following Christ, we have a commandment to go and to tell people about Jesus. We're commanded to do it. These two witnesses, there's only going to be two of them versus about 2 billion people on the earth. How about us? It feels a lot like that sometimes, doesn't it? We feel totally outnumbered. In your schools, sometimes even in your own houses, you feel outnumbered. You feel like people, you just have so many people around you who don't want to listen to what you have to say. These two witnesses, we learn in verse 3 of Revelation 11 that their ministry will only last 3.5 years. For us, we have a little bit longer than that, but just like them, our time is running out quickly. And of course, we pray for Jesus to come back quickly, but we have work to do in the meantime. So here's my challenge to you guys, and as you guys split up to your small groups here in just a moment, don't leave the dirty work up to these guys and all the other Christians that are better at witnessing to people. Don't leave the dirty work up to them. It's up to every one of us who call ourselves a Christian. It's not just a good idea. It's a commandment from Jesus. And most of you guys filled out one of those little surveys on the back table back there. Interesting stuff. We tallied it up. And this first question asked, what would you say prevents you from talking to people about Jesus? 10 people said fear of rejection. 19 people said not knowing what to say. And the most people, 20, said not having all the answers. So for a majority of you, what prevents you from telling people about Jesus is because you feel like they're going to ask you something that you don't have the answer to. Don't be discouraged by that. I don't have all the answers. I'm a pastor. I don't know everything. I never will. You can ask any pastor ever, and I guarantee you can find something that they don't quite know or they can't quite grasp. It's okay. God's going to use you. Here's a second question. Have you ever personally gotten to pray with someone and lead them to Christ? Unfortunately, a majority of you said no, you've never gotten to lead someone to Christ. And if that's you, I pray that you'll be looking for that person to go out and to share with. And the third question, do you know someone who doesn't know Jesus? And almost every single person, except for one person, said, yes, I do know someone who doesn't know Jesus. And I'll bet if that one person thought enough, they would figure something out. Because I guarantee when you go to Walmart, when you go to the mall, when you go anywhere, you'll run across somebody. Maybe it's somebody at school, it's a teacher, it's a parent, it's a family member. Somewhere down the line, you will run into someone who doesn't have a relationship with Jesus. So, a majority of you had that answer, that you know someone who doesn't know Jesus. What are you going to do about that? Are you going to hold on and wait and just hope that you live a good enough life that they're going to start asking you questions? Don't hold out for that. That's a good place to start, but don't hold out for that. So here's what I'm going to have you guys do. I'm going to split you guys up in groups here in just a moment. And we're going to close the last 10 minutes of service just in small groups discussing these things. One thing I want to point out to you guys. I hope one thing that your leaders are going to have you do is think or make a list of 5 people that you know that need Jesus. And I'm going to ask you guys to pray specifically for those people and their salvation. But most importantly, pray that God would give you the boldness to talk to them. Praying is a very important part. But I believe we should always be looking for open doors to talk to those people. All right? So here's what we're going to do. I'm going to have guys over here on this far side. Girls over here on this far side. You guys can go ahead and get up out of your chairs. Guys on that side. Girls on this side.